and welcome to episode 95 of Bite-Sized Blessings. This week, I interview Justin, who also goes by the name of Bud. So for the rest of this interview and on the website, he'll be known as Bud. It's a family name, and we'll get into that later. Bud is a tattoo artist, among many other things. He's in love with podcasts. He's in love with art. He's a true creative. He's a tattoo artist here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, at Four Star Tattoo. But Bud seems to be one of those unique individuals whose life has been touched by many different magical and mysterious events. In this episode, Bud talks about what happened after his near-death experience. He did, in fact, actually die, and we'll get into that later. But it's what happened after that that I thought was really intriguing and very interesting. And as Bud tells the story, I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. In this season that's so close to the Day of the Dead, where we honor our ancestors, where we try to make friends with death, where we invite death into our living rooms, into our lives, I think the timing of this podcast couldn't be better. So now, without further ado, episode 95 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
I had a near-death experience before I was a tattooer or anything. I was married at the time, and we were cleaning out a closet, and it was getting dust. I have asthma, too, by the way. So and it's dust, and I'm allergic to everything, too, and just the dust and everything, and I started having an asthma attack. And at that time, I was smoking cigarettes like an idiot and as well. And so I would go to the hospital, like, once a month, just to the emergency room, just to, like, get a breathing treatment. So I ended up driving myself to the, I was like, it's just another thing. I'm just going to go to the emergency room and get my breathing treatment, whatever. And my wife was like, you sure you don't want me to go? I'm like, I'll be back. Don't worry about it. And then I ended up coding. I had a near-death experience before I was a tattooer or anything. I was married at the time, and we were cleaning out a closet, and it was getting dust. I have asthma, too, by the way. So, and it's dust, and I'm allergic to everything, too, and just the dust and everything, and I started having an asthma attack. And at that time, I was smoking cigarettes like an idiot and as well. And so I would go to the hospital, like, once a month, just to the emergency room, just to, like, get a breathing treatment. Because my asthma, and this is, 25 years ago probably now, so it's like there wasn't really a lot of, there was some medicines and stuff, but it wasn't like it is now where you can regulate your asthma so much easier. Like, I haven't had an asthma attack in a decade probably, a bad one anyway. So I ended up driving myself to the, I was like, it's just another thing. I'm just going to go to the emergency room and get my breathing treatment, whatever. And my wife was like, you sure you don't want me to go? I'm like, I'll be back. Don't worry about it. And then I ended up coding. I ended up kind of passing out on the way there. And then I pulled up and parked the car in a weird spot and then got into the emergency room. They sat me down and gave me breathing treatment. They ended up giving me like two or three breathing treatments and it wasn't helping. And then my ex-wife was there at the time. And this is from her vantage point because I passed out. And then, so then I coded and almost died. And the next thing I remember is being flown by emergency helicopter to the bigger city, Des Moines. I'm from Iowa, and to Des Moines, to the hospital there. And I just remember kind of waking up as they were taking me out of the helicopter. I was in a coma for a day, and then that next day I came out, and I was able to speak and everything. And but anyway, so I had this like traumatic kind of like health thing happen to where I feel like I was really close to death, if not like went there and then came back, And with that experience, it changed my life because I had to I reevaluated everything for good and for bad. And I had to like make changes in my life. So that's basically when I went down the road of being a tattooer. And I mean, I worked at a factory and stuff, and I worked for kind of a mom and pop Best Buy at the time. But I knew that I didn't want to do that. I knew I wanted to go do something else. And in turn, that changed my perception of life. And I felt an urgency, and I felt like weird to say, but I made some decisions at that time to basically kind of leave my family, you know, and be very selfish and look out for me and do the things I wanted to do. And looking back, I shouldn't have made those decisions. I should have done different. I should have stuck around and seen things through. But I was so frightened by the perception of death at that point that I was like, I got stuff I got to do. And the kids will be fine. Their mom is great. You know, she'll take care of them, and I'll be weekend dad, and I'll just pump money into this situation, make money, and really try to make that help them. And then, of course, looking back, like, that was not the route I should have went, you know. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm glad I did, because it helped me feed the desire to create and to do things, but it left some people behind, and those are relationships that with my children. I have two boys, older, they're 22 and 24. But that definitely, that time where I wasn't there as much, is definitely something that we work through. You know, we talk through. Luckily, we have a good relationship with them now, but it wasn't always like that.
I was going to ask you, did you have any sense that you were dying when you had this experience?
I mean, I knew it was bad, but I don't, I mean, like I said, all I remember is from the emergency room, and then there was a blank where I don't know what happened, and then waking up in the helicopter, and then the next day.
Okay.
So I mean, I didn't really have time to think. I don't know, my body just wasn't...
You didn't have an out-of-body experience?
I didn't have an out-of-body experience. I didn't see a white light. I didn't see any of that. I was just unconscious. and then these moments of consciousness. Now, when I woke up, you know, I was tied to a bed, and I had the breathing tube down me, and the first thing I did was I motioned with my hands to, like, write something down. And they gave me a sheet, and I wrote, "Get this effing thing off of me, get it out of me," or something. So they're like, "All right, we'll do that," you know, because they had me tied down because I wanted to, like, pull it out, you know. It's like a natural thing. But anyway, so I was laying there, and they got it out of me, which was terrible. I had a catheter; it was totally terrible. And I just remember thinking, I got through it, you know. I didn't think like, "Oh, I almost died," But looking back, I knew that it was, you know, and then with perspective after that, being like, wow, I almost died. Like, I could not be here. You know, made me think, you know, it's whenever anything happens, especially during the ayahuasca situation or the ayahuasca ceremony, I'm constantly having deja vu. And then the deja vu comes back to that ceremony. And when my friend passed, I went right back to the ayahuasca ceremony and thinking about death and thinking about just, you know, where does our energy go? You know, it is just, we are just a vessel. It's like the light bulb. Is the light bulb produce the light, or is the light the thing? You know, like, it's not the light bulb, it's the light inside the light bulb that creates the light. You know, it's, what are you? Are you the thing? Are you the vessel? Are you the, and we're vessels. You know, these are just meat sacks that, what makes me and what makes you isn't this physical thing. It's the energy or the what's inside of us, you know, the soul, if you will. But
so you did the ayahuasca after your near-death experience?
It was after.
Okay. Because yeah, I'm just wondering, when you said that you went to the land of the dead or the realm of the dead.
Yeah.
And did you say it felt familiar or?
Felt familiar. Yeah. I mean, it's the two experiences are somewhat different because they're two different chemicals. They're very similar. Like DMT and ayahuasca are very similar. But that was definitely a familiar feeling. The feeling with the ayahuasca, it was a bit familiar. Like, oh, this is like, I'm back. Like my soul is going back to some sort of energy or some sort of place. But I really had that familiar feeling with the DMT that first time when I really opened the door, if you will, to perception, you know, like opened the door to like this new realm of thinking or life or whatever. Love. I mean, that's what it always comes down to.
that's it. That's episode 95 of Bite-Sized Blessings. I think what I most found intriguing was, after Bud did the ayahuasca, he went to the land of death and it felt familiar to him, like something that he'd known. And so in my mind, I'm making the connection between his near-death experience, because he'd already been there, right? He'd already been to the land of death, and that's why it was so familiar. That's just my idea, my imagination going wild. You, dear listener, can make your own determinations. And with that, I need to thank Bud Weeks for being such a gracious and generous guest on the show. I'm really grateful that he shared all of his stories with me. I need to thank the creators of the music used on this episode: Alexander Nakarada, Sasha N., Raphael Crux, Frank Schroeder, Kevin McLeod, and Winnie the Moog. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to other episodes, to art, to Bud's tattoos, under his episode show notes, and other things that I think will lighten and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Bud. Live with the idea that in the land of death, there is life, there is love, and it's not the end of anything, but it's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a new adventure.